When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hey everyone, this is a tough one to record. You've probably read the title. I'll do it quickly and hopefully painlessly. The show is going on a hiatus. I thought about this a lot. I've been thinking about it for a few months, and I talked about it a little bit with the patrons at patreon.com/thephileasclub. the patrons who have been supporting me for many years now, and which I'm eternally thankful for. But things haven't been easy this year. And there are a couple of reasons why I think I need to put the show on a little bit of a... I need to take a little bit of a break from the show. The first one is, and both are, I think, equally important. The first one is that I don't have time. It's kind of crazy. Everyone tells you when you have two kids, you have less time than when you have one kid. And I thought that I didn't have time when I had one kid, and now I have two. So yeah, this is kind of crazy. It's the show to do well takes a lot of thought. And essentially, when I say I don't have time, I don't have downtime. And I'm always managing emergencies. I'm always putting out fires when I'm working and throughout the day. And I don't think that's conducive to a good enough quality for the show. But I'll talk about that in just a second. The bottom line is, time-wise, I'm very tired. And my daughter is not at daycare yet. She will be in a few weeks. In the beginning of the new year, she will be going to daycare. So hopefully that will give me a little bit more time. And I think if that was the only issue, I would find a way to keep the show going, hoping that in the next few months, I would have a little bit more, enough time to do it properly. But there is another thing that has been running around in my head. And so, yeah, about the time thing, I do too many shows, as I have sometimes in the past. And when that happens, I feel like I need to prioritize. So I guess that is what is happening here. And the problem with the Phileas Club is I'm also putting Pixels on hiatus, but that one I kind of have, I haven't had time to do even for the past few months, so that won't come to too much of a surprise, as too much of a surprise to anyone. But the problem with this show, the Phileas Club, is that I love it so much. I love this show so much, and I love the promise of it so much. And I think it is a useful tool for a lot of people, and certainly for me. And so we get into, and so that makes it so hard for me to make that decision. I've been thinking about it for months, to be honest. And I knew deep down that I didn't have time for it for a while. But I wanted to keep going because I love it so much and I think it's so important. Again, to me, it's really important. But the second part of all of this is that I'm not sure, it's maybe even more important than the fact that I don't have time. I'm not sure the mission of the show, as I had been thinking about it for the past few months, is still what I want the show to be. Meaning, initially, the show was supposed to be just a hearing from people with different views and opinions and, you know, different cultures and backgrounds, more even than views and opinions. It was like, oh, I wonder what people in Asia think about this thing that is making headlines in the West. You know, like, how do they look at it? How do they view it? How do they report on it? And the different opinions, like different ends of the political spectrum was a little part of that, but not necessarily the main focus. And in recent years, I've focused a lot on that, on the political spectrum thing, on the division and infighting within our own countries and trying to reach across, you know, and if not to start agreeing with the people on the other side, at least to understand where they're coming from. And I still think that's important. But at the same time, there are things where so I wonder how far this should be taken, because there are things like, well, you know, the examples of the moment would be anti-vaxxers who are actually putting people at risk and doing real harm to themselves and others. And that, to an extent, I wonder, this is all a big thought process for me, but I do wonder how much of my trying to understand where they're coming from leads to excusing things that should maybe not be acceptable, or making acceptable things that shouldn't be acceptable. The Trump presidency is also something that I've been thinking about. I think what has become clear in the past few weeks and months, after the, you know, I would say in the past year, let's say after January 6th, I think what has become clear is that, at least that's what I believe, if he could have taken over, President Trump, if he could have taken over, I think he would have. And the idea that he couldn't have because all of the protections that are in place are, first of all, it's a little bit flimsy because we've seen how far it's gone, but also that doesn't really matter. That's not what is bothering me here. What's bothering me is that there was an enabling by, in part, I think that's what bothers me, in part by a tiny part, but you know, in my thought process, by me as well, like, am I enabling the normalization of this thing? And, you know, I take Trump as an example. I take anti-vaxxers as an example. There are many of them. And the conflicting thing here in my mind is that I believe that maybe this is a problematic way to approach things if it validates or normalizes issues like this. Or, you know, if it normalizes these kinds of things. And on the other hand, I still very strongly believe that it's important to reach across the aisle, if we want to talk in political terms, and reach across the world and understand people, including people we vehemently disagree with, because very often, as we've done on the show, you know, the people who have been kind enough to come on the show and tell us what they think, why they think the way they do, even when we disagree, I think are an example or exemplifying why it's important to do it, because we realize they're human and they're usually, you know, pretty normal people that we could go out and have a beer with, right? And so there are these two conflicting ideas that I don't know how to reconcile, because I'm very concerned about the polarization of society. And I think that is an existential threat. You know, the fact that we're so polarized, so opposed that we can't talk leads to the chaos winning, and the seeders, the sewers of chaos are the ones that benefit from that. And so it's important to keep the lines of communication open and to understand why and how these things go. You know, why and how people think differently, to combat the polarization, because it only brings disaster if polarization continues. But, so I don't know. And again, if there was only that, I think I could focus on bringing voices from different places and having sort of the show fulfilling its initial mission. And I think that's a very valuable one as well. But if you add to this the fact that I'm so tired and have so little time, and I can't take the time I need to think about how to tackle that issue, I feel like the show's quality has, you know, slipped a little bit and might, and I worry about how things go from here, how things go for me with the show, if I continue without solving these issues of time and, you know, purpose kind of. So I think the best for me and for the show is to take a break, to take a hiatus. It's happened before, if you guys remember, when I was in a similar situation because of other reasons, but I had no time, I was exhausted, I stopped the show for a couple of years. And I came back when I started my podcasting career as a, you know, full-time podcaster. And so my hope is that I will put it on hiatus for a little while. And maybe even, you know, you probably should stay subscribed if you agree to, because maybe I'll put out a show or my thoughts on this and that here and there, maybe every once in a while. But my hope would be that I manage to come back at some point, but I don't want to promise it. And that's why it's a hiatus, not a break. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The thing that is really important is that I love this show so much. I think it's very important. And I think from the patrons whom I've spoken to about this before have been extremely kind in their comments, and they've kind of expressed that idea that it is an important aspect of what the show brings, this idea that it helps you understand where the other people, the opposing people, are coming from. And that's so rare. So I don't know, actually my daughter's crying now. So, and oh my God, what's happening? Okay. I'm going to have to go and see what's up. My wife is with her, but, so that's a perfect example. I'm getting into, you know, the things I want to say, and my mind is, so I hope the show comes back one day. I won't promise it. But that's the way I'm going into this. And again, the importance of the show for me is immense. So I don't want to, you know, do the pod fading thing. I like the idea that I'm taking a clean stop. I'm doing a clean stop at the end of 2021, sorry. And so we'll see what happens in the next few months and years. But I do want to thank everyone for listening. I want to, above everything, thank both the contributors, I mean, the people who have been on the show, be it one time or dozens of times, and of course, the patrons. without whom I don't think, you know, the Phileas Club is essentially what launched my podcasting career as a professional podcaster, along with Le Rendezvous Tech. And I am so thankful to the people who have become patron and who have supported me throughout those past few years. I'm getting a little bit emotional, so I'm going to stop it here. I'm so thankful to all of you. You will never know how much. And I'm so thankful to the show and for what it's brought me and for what it's taught me. And I will not forget any of those things. You know, the things that I've, it's changed me. This is probably the show that has changed me the most in podcasting. And God knows that podcasting has been a big part of my life. So I don't do this lightly. It's not easy, but I think it's necessary. I love all of you. And if you want to follow me, Not Patrick on Twitter is the best place. And I hope we'll be back at some point. Many hugs and many good thoughts to all of you.